This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
All right, Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we are here on day three. This is actually October the 3rd, 2019, here at the Genie Conjurers Convention. And we have just completed there a little bit earlier the breakfast workshop by Ian Kendall, which was excellent. Again, I'm looking forward to doing that again tomorrow. He's got different things he's talking about each day. Anyhow, we just finished with the Gate and Bloom lecture, and we didn't get a chance yesterday to talk about last night's show, which was phenomenal. So I'm joined today by a friend of mine from Australia, Mr. Tim Ellis. Hi there, Tim.
Good morning.
It is a good morning. And we were just earlier talking about what you're doing as far as working and producing the Melbourne Festival.
The Melbourne Magic Festival. Yeah, this year we had a new record. We've been hovering around about 10,000 or 11,000 guests coming to watch our shows over the 2 weeks of the festival. This year we got over 17,000 coming along.
Wow. And what year is this? Is this the fourth year?
Twelfth year.
It's growing every year. It sounds great.
It is. It's getting crazy. It's like my baby that's gone out of control.
Well, one thing I do want to make a public thank you, you know, for introducing me to Carissa Hendricks, because after she had won the comedy award there a few years ago, that you had sent me a text and said, you've got to have this girl on this young lady, this magician, on your podcast. And I arranged for that, and boy, I've been singing her praises since. And she was wonderful. She was on the show last night as her character. And apparently Lucy Darling, did she introduce that there at the festival?
Yeah, when she came to the festival the first time, that was the first time she ever tested out Lucy Darling. And it was a big, big, big success. She was shocked how popular it was. But Australians just instantly fell in love with the character. And because it's a semi-improvised show, people kept coming night after night after night to see the show again, because it's different every night.
That's right, yes. And last evening, once again, it was kind of improv a little bit. You know, some of the things that she was kind of ripping with the people in the audience. And she has a very good way of handling everybody, regardless of the situation, you know.
Yeah. The show itself is very, very scripted, but then she has points where she can divert away from the script and start to improvise and jam with the audience.
Now, last night's show was completely different from the standpoint. There were three acts, but each of them did a turn three times.
Yeah, and they did an excellent job of putting it together in the very, very, very short time they were given. It was originally going to be a different show. I think Rob Zabrecki was going to be involved in the show, and Raymond Crowe was brought in at the last minute, and he did a fantastic job. But I think they only had like an hour of tech rehearsal to put the whole show together. There was no director or no producer backstage or anything like that. So really up to just the three of them to throw it together and do the best they could.
Well, it looked like it was well rehearsed, because the way they threw it to each other, there was no MC or anything. It's kind of like, well, next I'm going to introduce this person, and then we'll bring back to the stage whomever.
No, that's what you get when you get three pros on the show together.
That's exactly, and it proved that. It looked so really good, the way they put that together. Now, I know that Anthony is a friend of yours. From Australia, not Anthony. Raymond Crowe. You've known him for a long number of years. You've probably seen his act develop over the years.
Well, there were a lot of new things I hadn't seen him do before in the show, because he's when he tours with the Illusionists, they will say, hey, he's got to do his shadow act or something, or maybe his dancing coat. But he's got a lot of other material that he doesn't necessarily get to do with the Illusionists.
Right.
So he'll do on his solo tours, and the stuff with the baby he's been developing for a long time, and the other little hand shadow introduction that he did. A lot of that I have never seen him do before, but he's been working on it, you know, just quietly in the background.
When he's working with the Illusionists, doesn't he mainly do the shadow act?
Yeah, that's specifically what they love. They usually close the show with the hand shadows, the What a Wonderful World routine, and they did that again last night. They closed the show with that. No way, always kills.
That's what I thought was kind of interesting, the way that each of them did really good bits, the first two things, but then they each finished for their third part, their signature piece, you know. And Raymond's, of course, was with the, how do I describe that?
Flying coat.
Yeah, okay, yes. That was phenomenal. It was really good. And, of course, Hector Mancha was doing his FISM act, which was phenomenal. Of course, he's a Grand Prix winner, and it was good for a lot of people who had not seen that. Now, due to technical things, he wasn't able to actually do the act. No, were you, no, you in Italy? Did you see his act when he performed?
His normal act takes a long time to technically light it, to get it all ready. But I think they were given maybe an hour, but by the time they actually got to do the technical stuff, I think he got 17 minutes, they said.
Oh, boy.
And then there were 3 minutes left to tech the rest of the show.
Yeah. Because I know also some things come from the ceiling and that, things didn't happen exactly. But it was phenomenal. I mean, it's very good.
It's amazing.
It was very good. And, like I said, the things that Raymond did was wonderful. And then the interaction that, mainly, the Carissa was her act is based a lot on the narrative, her talking, you know, whereas that Hector doesn't. It's more mime kind of a stuff that he was doing. And then the things that Raymond was doing kind of in between. So I think that the three of them really blended well together. I could see them going on the road, thing like that. Now, afterwards, did you stick around for Eric Jones' lecture?
I did not. I actually had to go and help some people pack up.
Yeah, okay. Craig, did you see Eric Jones' lecture? No, okay. Just checking. So, I didn't get a chance to see that because I was putting together the lecture.
Right,
the
I think Eric's was lecture number 85 of the lecture of the convention so far.
And we still are only about half, not even halfway through yet. And I like the fact, the way that they have these lined up and structured, so they're 45-minute lectures, and they're more than a TED Talk kind of a thing. It really is a compact lecture, and then 15 minutes to sell, and then they, get ready for the next.
Yeah. And if it's someone who you don't necessarily think, I don't think I want to watch this guy because he doesn't do the sort of thing I want to watch. You watch it anyway because it's only 45 minutes, and you get some prizes.
Absolutely, absolutely. Why did you come to this year's convention?
Originally, because Carissa was doing a show with Rob Zabrecki. They were teaming up to do this show they've been working on for some time. But also because I heard that Derren Brown was starting on Broadway.
Yeah.
And so in about 3 or 4 days, I head over to New York to watch his show. I think you've seen it.
I did. Excellent show.
So it's worth seeing?
I agree. Yes, it is.
Because it's costing me a fortune to come over here.
It is very good. And it'll be a packed house. And what I like is that he is really introducing mentalism to the New York theater goers. Mm. And he's appealing to their intellect, and he's packing the house. I mean, what you'll notice, as he pointed out when we chatted, is how that the American audiences have individual reactions. So there'll be a gasp or applause or something here and there, as opposed to, like, the English audiences are all in unison at the same time or something.
Well, I have noticed the American audiences react quite differently to Australian and to English audiences. There's just a very different... sometimes, because we had our good friend Dom Chambers was just on America's Got Talent, and there were some pieces that he did which were intentionally gags.
Yeah.
And yet the audience were like, I know how he did that. I was like, it was a gag. Yeah, well, he wasn't good because I figured that one out. Like, but don't you understand that was just a bit of fun?
Yeah, exactly.
No, I know how. So that you don't really get that with other audiences, but some audiences are like, this guy's a magician. He has to fool me, otherwise he's no good.
Good point.
Very simplistic view of what the role are. You know, this is a singer. They have to be able to sing really high notes and spectacular. Otherwise, they're no good.
You know,
there's really. It's not with everyone. It's just that there's this broad audience in America that prefers to have a very straightforward view of what you are. They pigeonhole you.
Of an entertainer, not necessarily a magician, singer, whatever else.
Yeah. That's ventriloquist, there might be a fantastically entertaining ventriloquist, but a lot of audiences will go, I saw his lips move. No good.
That's
terrible.
Right. They're not watching the figure, they're watching his lips, and if it kind of wiggles a little bit, he's not any good.
I think part of it is there's this culture now, partially through AGT and may even Fool Us, where Americans watching the audience tend to think, I'm a judge.
Oh,
I'm going to judge this act.
I hadn't thought about that.
But it's almost like this is how the audiences are being educated. Instead of, we watch the show, we enjoy the theatrical aspect of it, we get taken away the story. Now it's like, okay, everybody sit back, we're going to judge this act.
So the audience is reacting and empathizing, I guess, or relating to the judging rather than the performers.
Yeah.
So it's like we could set
back
at home.
Take the role of the judges
there
because they get to vote at home, they get to decide the fate of this person, should they go into the next round or not. How good are they?
Wow, okay, that is so obvious now that you say that. That makes perfect sense. By the way, Dom Chambers was the guy, for those who are listening, was the guy who did the Beer Act just recently here in 2019. And
now
he went pretty far.
Now he's on The Illusionists with Eric Chen for Broadway.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I just announced that. So, Dom's was like our sort of, because I mean, Carissa was like a breakout star from the Melbourne Magic Festival a couple of years ago. Dom's our breakout star this year. And Simon Coronel, you know Simon.
Yes,
he was one of our early breakout stars from Magic Festival. So we're really pleased that the Magic Festival is cultivating and nurturing a whole new generation of magicians who are just learning to be themselves and bring something fresh to the table.
I thought what Dom did really was bring something fresh to the table, and he has a completely different, he doesn't look like a magician, he looks like a, you know, you go to a bar and you see a, everybody looks the same at the pub, you know. And
well, that's what the judges on AGT kept saying. They say, I don't feel like I'm watching a magic act
exactly.
when I watch you. And that's the whole thing with Dom. He's just one of the guys. But I thought what he really brought to the show this year with AGT was, you just watch him and you could just go, he could host any TV show.
I could see
they
that.
Stick him on. He's just a really likable guy, young,
charisma.
Energetic,
yeah.
mm-hmm. you know, really relatable. So he's
like
going to go far. No, I'm the old hack now. I'm the old guard.
The old guard. Yeah.
But I'm still like you mentioned. I'm not doing a lot of conventions because I'm too busy with the Magic Festival, and I got my own theater in my house now. Doing corporate shows, doing cruises and stuff. But I did get asked by Yo-Yo to do the TMA convention again this year. So I'm thrilled to do that. I love going to the TMA convention.
Where will that be?
In Taiwan.
Taiwan. Yeah.
And
when will that be?
I think it's November.
Okay.
So I get to host the gala show again. I love hosting the gala show at TMA. It's so much fun.
Now what is that like as far as English or Australian, as far as the language? I mean, the barrier. They have someone interpreting?
No. Everyone seems to understand what I do, or at least they pretend they do. I'm not sure. but it's so much fun.
They're just being nice.
Yeah, last time I did impressions of Yiff and Dynamo and Cyril and stuff, and we had a lot of fun just doing a few send-ups. But this year I'm still figuring out what I'm going to do. I think I'll probably try my new eye drop, which Vanishing Ink still haven't released yet.
Okay.
But that's,
what's the effect?
It's basically a borrowed cell phone, and the audience members accidentally smash it themselves, and then eventually gets restored. But
sure.
It's a really deceptive thing. As soon as I showed Joshua Jay, he's like, we're going to sell hundreds and thousands of this thing. It's fantastic. And it really is fun.
So they're manufacturing the prop
now? Yeah. They did a soft release of it two Magic Lives ago. But the thing is, there's two parts to it. There's the part where you borrow the phone, you don't even touch it, the spectator puts it into a bag, and then the spectator accidentally drops it and smashes into pieces on the floor. But then that's one part. That's why he was doing a soft release. But then there's the whole thing about vanishing the pieces, restoring it in a nest of boxes, and that's what they were trying to figure out. How can we manufacture that and sell the whole package to people?
Right.
So I think they're almost ready with it. But I've been doing the show that on cruise ships and corporates, and I'll probably do a TMA. It's just such a great thing because it genuinely looks like someone's phone accidentally smashed on the floor. And it doesn't look like there's any switch or anything like that. It just looks so good.
It's called Eye Drop.
Eye Drop, yeah.
Okay. I like that. That sounds like it's going to be something people should be looking forward to.
To be honest, when I started doing it on cruise ships, I was like, this is the new banana bandana. Because it's like 10 to 15 minutes of automatic comedy with an audience member prop that is broken. Right. It's really good. Yeah.
Awesome. That sounds great. Well, look, and thank you very much. I appreciate, Tim, that kind of an update of what you were thinking.
It looks like we're about to start another lecture.
I think so, yeah. It's kind of about 15 minutes in between here, so it gives us a chance at least to stand up and stretch our leg just a moment before they start for the next. Who's going to be up next? It's going to be just a minute. We just had Gayton Bloom, and now we're going to have Bill Chung.
With his FISM acts and lecture.
Okay, so that'll be awesome then, too. Now, Penn & Teller is supposed to be here, I believe, with Fifth Magic Dragon tomorrow night show, is that right?
Tonight.
It's tonight show?
Penn & Teller, I suppose it'll be this afternoon. Piff is tonight, late show.
Okay, that makes sense, because I was thinking that they've got to get back to their own show, you know, as well. So, okay, just so that way people kind of know what's happening then as well. So they're going to be in and out. That's right, Pat Hazel is actually going to be emceeing the show here tonight. Then.
Yep.
Okay. That's good. Okay, thanks very much, Tim. Appreciate
okay.
it. I'll let you go. And so for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Tim Ellis. Scotty out. All right, well, we just finished the afternoon first of the close-up shows hosted by Max Maven. And I'm here actually with Dustin Stennett right now. Hey, Dustin.
Howdy. How are
and
you
are
all?
You associate editor or what?
Correct.
Exactly?
Okay, associate editor of Genie Magazine.
Very
yes,
good.
Sir.
And also, as far as this convention goes, you're one of the co-producers, or how
no,
would you?
No, 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 no.
You're just
no,
one
no.
of the minions.
I'm one of the many minions. Yes, yes, yes. I did help set up things, you know, when we got here.
Yeah.
And then
right.
and now, basically, I just get to man the doors, make sure that the folks are coming in,
right.
Have badges, things like that,
right.
and then enjoy the convention my own self. It's
you
great.
Seem to be, you know, enjoying
oh, it's
the
fantastic.
Convention. I mean, there's nothing not to enjoy, which is a double negative, meaning it's a positive.
Oh,
so
yeah.
there is a lot to enjoy here.
It's, yep.
I've told Richard that, but I haven't had a chance to sit down to him because he's running around.
Running around yeah. like crazy, yeah.
So that's why I wanted to talk with you just briefly. I know this was a sellout, so what was that mean? Is there 350? Or what was the cap on this?
Oh, we're at about 700.
700,
just under 700,
okay.
yeah. That includes the artists.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right, because I know that Stan's Magic Live, you know, sells out 1,600, and this seems a lot smaller than that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's why
we're
I thought 350, but it's yeah. 700. That's good.
It's, yep.
Yeah, okay. And so, yeah, it's been sold out for what, 2 months? Or?
Oh, longer than that,
okay.
But obviously we had some cancellations, and but other people
sure.
filled it, that sort of thing.
Which
but,
is how I got here,
the yeah.
cancellation.
Yep.
Actually, I was very lucky. It was very much a last-minute thing on Monday. Hey, Coach Kimlet. And so we got just more stuff that's going to be coming up this afternoon because Penn's going to be on, but preceded by Hannibal.
Hannibal is doing his one-man show. Yep.
Which is going to be great. And
will
be. For those people who are listening, by the way, I just sat down with him last evening and had a one-hour conversation
oh,
with him.
Wow.
So I'm going to be putting that out sometime in the future, so you can look forward to that then as well.
Hannibal's great.
He is fantastic. Yep. And well loved by a lot of people. I was understanding from, who was it we talked? Oh, Tim Trano said that Lu Chen said he's one of his favorite magicians. Hannibal's one of Lu Chen's.
He's definitely yeah. one of mine, so yeah.
He's going to be good. And as I understand it, that of course it's going to be put out tomorrow, so people already know, I guess, that Teller is not going to be here. It's just Penn only, is that right?
Yeah, or? Right now, this minute, it's a secret, but I'm yeah. not sure why. I can't tell you that.
Okay.
But
well, nobody will know. Won't hear this
But he will
after.
Be Skyping in. So,
okay, well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be a you know question and answer with Randy Pitchford and the publisher of Genie.
Yeah.
And but Penn is here, and so we're all going to be surprised what's happening. We don't, you know.
So he's really not, we don't know whether he's going to be performing or not, or whether he's just going to be talking, or it's a,
well, I saw the text, so there's going to be something. There's going to
okay.
be a little something, yes,
okay.
between Penn and Teller.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, we can talk about after this is over. Obviously, I'm the only one you're keeping a secret from right now because this will go tomorrow then. Hey, Michael.
Yeah.
I'm not putting you in a bad spot.
Because they weren't... While they were teching it, they weren't performing it. They weren't rehearsing it.
Okay.
So I can't even tell you what the effect is.
But tonight,
is.
Piff is going to be doing a midnight.
Piff the Magic like Dragon 30. Is doing the late night show.
Okay.
So
18 or older.
18 or older, and you cannot be offended.
Yeah.
If you're easily offended, I would stay away.
Yeah, I remember when Harrison Greenbaum had done a show, you know, at the Magi Fest.
Well, Harrison Greenbaum did our late night show 2 years ago
yeah.
and killed. So
sure.
Piff has a... He's got a
edgy
a tough act to follow.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Harrison and, you know, the people who come here who are our regulars are
yeah.
going to remember Harrison. And so Piff... You know,
step it up so
he,
a little
he
bit.
Needs,
yeah.
yeah. Well, but okay. you know what?
It's
he
Piff.
Will.
Yeah, I'm
it's
sure it's going to be very
yeah.
good. I was hoping that Penn was going to be around also so they could kind of do a duet or something.
You know,
you
who
have
knows?
His, have his costume on. But because they're dark tonight, as I understand. I mean, as far as Vegas goes, they're
right.
not going to be. So, yeah, who knows? Maybe it
who
might
knows?
Be a surprise
who knows?
Thing. Okay, don't tell me.
I don't know.
You don't know. So
I don't
it's
know.
Going to be fun for
I'm,
you, too.
You have to understand, I'm on a need-to-know basis, and most of this stuff I don't need to know. So I like it that way, actually.
Have you done the 49 boxes?
Not yet.
Are
I've done it
to?
Before.
Okay.
And absolutely I'm going to do it before because we're doing it quite differently than they did at Magic Live.
Yeah.
Where Magic Live, there was a big table and there was one box and everybody shared. Everybody there, we have 80 people in the room and everyone gets a box.
Yeah.
So.
Hold on a second. Eve. Hey. Dinner.
Yes.
Okay, don't leave without me. I'll call you or meet you in the front
okay.
door over there.
Meet you in the same
yeah.
spot.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Or after whenever the...
6 o'clock.
Yeah, I think it is. Also, something... It's well, I was going to say about the 49 boxes that I did mine in the other day. Coincidence. I went to the same table. It just so happened was the same box that I had done.
Really?
Of all the boxes.
You know,
like,
what are the odds of that?
You know, and the other
well,
table filled up. Yeah,
one.
other boxes had filled up, and I couldn't sit anywhere else. And so it's like, well, I kind of have an idea of what you need to do because I remembered that. So it was a lot of fun. Something that's interesting, too, is the escape room, which is completely unrelated, but it's here at the hotel. It's right out front the door.
Yep.
It's a free thing, or what's the deal?
It is a free thing. It's an escape room. There's actually two different ones inside this one trailer.
Yeah.
So you can pick one. It takes about a half an hour or so. I choose not to go in because I don't want them having, you know, finding my body next week.
Forgetting that you're in there.
Yeah, I'm not particularly good at those. So, and no one wants me on their team whenever they have team ones, that kind of thing. So anyway, but it's just one of the perks of the Genie Convention.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. And this is the same hotel where we've always held it, I guess?
Every one we've had. This is our fourth. Absolutely. The Florida Hotel and Convention Center. It's fantastic. It's attached to the largest mall in Central Florida.
That's beautiful.
You never have to leave this hotel. The hotel itself has a couple of great restaurants. And then there's an enormous food court inside this gigantic mall.
Yeah.
So it's perfect. This is a perfect convention.
And it's new and clean, and they have a wide variety, as you say, and also have high-end restaurants as well. And so it's really good, as well as fast food.
You come down the elevator and you're on the convention floor too. That's one of the great things.
Now this is the fourth one, right? Because he was
Correct.
Holding like every other year. Someone asked me and they thought it was a sixth, and I said we're not sure, so it's a fourth.
No, it is the fourth. Yeah,
so after the first one, of course, that was in conjunction with the 75th anniversary.
Yes.
And so now he was saying
Liz
was saying not gonna do it. Next year or in 2 years, who knows? Or
who knows, Richard will make up his mind. I have confidence that he will do it again. But that being said, it's the same year as a FISM year.
That's true. 21.
So,
yeah.
Who knows? We might skip a year or something. I can't. I'm just speculating.
You're just a minion, as you said.
I am just a need-to-know basis.
Well, that sounds great. Well, this has been really good and been a lot of fun, certainly, for, down to everybody I've spoken with, that they have their own favorites. I personally have really been enjoying Ian Kendall's morning workshops.
Yep.
Most people don't know what that's about, and it's been growing and growing and getting into a larger and larger room,
So. Yep, and that was the thing. We did it the first year, and we had him in this tiny room because we figured nobody's going to come to this thing. Even Ian said, I'm going to get 15 people.
Yeah.
Well, it was past standing room only. The people were, so we moved them into a bigger room. Well, we put them in the bigger room that we, this time, and it was standing room only. So we had to move them yet to another bigger room. So it's really a popular thing, even though it's early in the morning.
It is, and so. I've been waking up early in order to make it there. In fact, I have to thank Ian again, because what he's done is that he had donated free copies of his PDF of his lecture notes to some listeners, so this way that you can enter a contest. So as we're talking about this right now, I want to remind everybody that you can go to the website at themagicwordpodcast.com for this episode, and you can enter the contest, because a cool thing is he just said this morning, so do you want six, did you want both the first in the second edition, so I'm going to give you six of those, so a total of 12. And I said, yeah, that'd be great. So I thought, rather than having, two of them going for six people, I'm going to have one going for 12 people. So in other words, we've doubled that. So please go there, and you'll have an opportunity to win even more. So now it's time I see here for Hannibal. We got to go. Thanks, Dustin, very much.
You're welcome.
It was Dustin
Stitt.
Scotty out. All right, well, now we just finished with Pat Hazel's evening show, and kind of in between right now before they start the evening show, and I thought I'd talk with one of the dealers, Mr. Roger Nico. Hey there, Roger.
Hey, how's it going, Scott?
Fantastic. How's it been going with the dealers?
Oh, the dealer room has been
active and busy?
Oh, it's been absolutely phenomenal this year.
Comparing to other conventions, and Christian Shank, your partner, obviously, come on, good question. Come over here then, too. So we're just talking about, this has been a successful convention, dealer-wise.
Yeah, it has been a very successful convention, it's been really great. I mean, it really has.
Mm-hmm.
We've actually sold out a few items, and we're getting really thin on a few other ones.
Yeah.
In fact, we've got one of the items that's one of the most talked about effects of the entire convention.
That has to be, obviously, your bar cup.
No. Lucy's doing the bar cup, but we have this new effect called Rex Ignis.
Rex Ignis.
Yes.
Okay, which means king something.
King of the fire or king of the flame, yes.
Okay. Give me the effect.
The effect is that you have the full control over the fire of a candle, the flame, It's not about turning on or off the flame. It's turning on or off the heat of a flame.
So it's still a flame, but you can put your hand over kind of a thing.
Yes.
It's not hot kind of a thing.
Right. Exactly, exactly.
In fact, you can do. You can put your own hand over it, or you can use the hand of a spectator. And this is the first time that I've actually been able to handle this this effect. And now my mind is really starting to crank. And with this candle, you could actually do living and dead tests.
I'm thinking about seance things.
Right. And also, so you could have like pieces of paper that don't burn, and then maybe one that does burn.
Mm-hmm.
So, or you could actually use the friction pen.
Sure.
And so, you know, some of the writing would disappear. You'd have total control over when the writing would disappear with the candle
flame. And also giving someone the power of invincibility, maybe.
Right, so and you could take it away just as fast.
Right, so they could feel the heat.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Huh. And the interesting part is it comes with a remote control if you want. You could even use it in public, the remote control, because the remote control, you can show, here's a remote control, give me any candle. With this remote control, I can turn on and off the heat of this candle. And it's such a
freaking
experience.
And that's one thing, you can use any candle. You can use a Zippo lighter. I mean, it's really quite the effect.
You are not you're not prepared with anything, so you can perform it in a T-shirt.
You go to, if you're doing a house party someplace, you can borrow their candle and do it.
Is this an exclusive with you guys?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
This is great. So you about sold out. That's not being your number one thing.
We have sold out so far, but we are taking orders from here on in. Yeah. So you know, you can still order it from us, and then we would ship it to you.
And you get the website, which is Cartridge.
Oh, it's not online
yet.
No, we are. It's a cooperation between Cartridge and Paralabs. Paralabs, German company. Mm-hmm. Who came up with this brilliant idea, and it's really brilliant. Once I heard it, I wanted to see it, and when I saw it, I thought, this needs to be published by us, because only a few people would know it. Darren Brown is using it, and the first TV performances were already done, and it's such an incredible performance.
What's it retail for?
It's only $250 without remote and $295 with remote control, yes.
In fact, I can use any candle. I think it's
any
kind of
candle.
Cool.
Any
yes.
candle. It's not like getting a candle and prepare something with it so that you can perform it. It's really open up a brand new candle, burn it, and do it.
It sounds great. Right.
Yeah. In fact, I mean, we bought our pillar candles like right here in Orlando at the local Walmart.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Well, it's because you guys have been in the dealer room. You probably haven't seen a lot of the shows or anything.
No,
is that right?
Yeah, I haven't.
Just the evening shows only.
Well, we were lucky enough to just get out of the 49
the
boxes.
The 49 boxes was absolutely brilliant.
Wasn't that fun?
That's a brilliant, fun thing, yeah.
Awesome.
In fact, I told Richard that, that I really said, enjoyed that. Yeah.
So you did get a chance to see Pat Hazel's show just now? No, you just now just got here. And you missed Annie Teller earlier?
Well, I didn't miss Teller.
Well,
we missed Teller, but we didn't miss Pat. Yeah, we didn't miss Pat.
Since Teller was actually broadcast, I guess. So there you go.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, we missed him.
But actually, we're waiting to see John Vanderput as Piff, the Magic Dragon.
Yes. Later tonight for the 10:30 show.
Yes.
Yeah, that's going to be some fun, I think, then, too. I'm looking forward to that. And that's going to be 18 and older kind of a thing. So it's going to be pretty X-rated.
Yep. Well, it's a Vegas show.
I'm looking forward to it. It should be some fun. Well, good talking to you guys. Thanks a lot. I'm glad you're enjoying the convention. You come every year? Or this is your fourth one?
Every second.
Every Genie convention.
The fourth one.
Yeah.
Very good. Then we'll see you the next one.
Okay.
I'm sure you'll have one. Thanks again.
Thank you,
Scott. Christian Scheck and Roger Nico. For the Card Shark, Scotty out. All right, well, we have this afternoon seen the Penn & Teller interview, actually. It was kind of a thing with Randy Pitchford, and Teller was unable to make it, so he was here via Skype, so we had a video with him, and he was kind of talking with us as well, and it was about an hour and a half, and it went like 10 minutes. It was really a lot of fun. And we're going to talk about that and also some other things that went on here this evening with a noted celebrity comedy magician and used to eat light bulbs even.
still do
that. That's okay.
Still do.
Jeff Williams. Hey, buddy.
Hey, hi. Hi, Steve. Oh, Scott. Sorry.
Yeah, good to see you, Michael. So, so you are local. Now, you're how far up the road here in Florida? How far away?
It's 2 hours away to St. Pete Beach unless it's rush hour, and then it's 5 hours.
Holy moly.
So, yeah.
That's like going to San Diego from L.A., I guess.
Yeah, pretty much. It's not a bad drive at all.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so as far as what we've been seeing here, you've probably come to all the Genies, haven't you?
I have. This is, yeah.
It was like Uri Geller and Juan Tamariz and other people who have in the past been.
Sure.
So how does this compare? What do you think?
You know, I'm fine. I'm seeing people I haven't seen in so long or haven't seen at all.
Yeah.
And Pat Hazel was just a scream. Yeah. I just absolutely loved it. It's so wonderful, and I'm meeting up with all of these underground people that you don't see very often, you know. I'm loving it.
You know, we were talking just about the things that have been happening so far since Penn & Teller that here this evening that we did see Pat Hazel do his Wonder Bread years, which I have heard him talk about. In fact, in the podcast, he had discussed this, and you can go back and listen to that one. But he was fantastic. It was so funny because it was bringing back a lot of memories to a lot of his old people in particular, you know.
Right, yeah. Oh, it was absolutely wonderful. For those of you who don't know who Pat Hazel is, he wrote for Seinfeld. He's done a lot of comedy, and he pulled out all of the stops, and it was amazing.
A couple of years ago that he was at the Magic Live convention, and he was kind of a breakout hit because at the time some people had not seen him. Well, he hasn't been around Magic conventions for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
He said to me that I've never really been out of Magic. It's just I've been doing other things, but I still continue to practice and rehearse, you know, card tricks and other kinds of things, and kind of keeping his ear to the ground so he knows what's been going on, but he hasn't really been associating with magicians or coming to conventions.
Right.
So last year when he was at Magic Live, it's kind of like, I think that this is fun. I think I might do it again. So when I'm sure Richard called, and this was great. And then he emceed the show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's killer. He can be in any show I'm in.
Yeah.
I thought he added a lot. He was different than any of the other acts, and it was brilliant.
Yeah. And speaking of the other acts, that what we had this afternoon, let's see, before Penn & Teller, let me look at my schedule over here, what we saw. The close-up show hosted by Max Maven with Michael Vincent.
Class act all the way.
That's what you have to say about him. You know, I think that Guy Hollingworth and him are in the same kind of a class act.
They really, really are. Yeah, England, I think, has they've really cornered the market on classy. Although we've got Jonathan Neal.
Yeah, I was
super
going to
classy.
Say, he's one of my favorites.
Yeah, yeah.
So you talk about Pat Hazel talking about some old, you know, jokes and things, you know, from our childhood and commercials and things like that. Jonathan Neal kind of reminds me, again, when he was working Johnny Carson, Merv Griffin, and all these old shows. And so but he's still, I think, as contemporary as he was back then.
Oh, I totally agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is a true professional in everything that he does, the way he talks, you know, and how he handles the audience and the way he can move, you know. He just knows everything, you know.
Well, you can tell it's been honed over thousands and thousands of performances.
Decades.
Oh, yeah.
And then this afternoon we had a fellow who couldn't show up because from Japan, it was Akira
Fuji.
Fuji, yeah.
Oh, I just love him. I miss seeing him. Yeah, he does the linking cigarettes and does he's a giant star in Japan.
Is that right?
Okay. Oh, yeah. He has a difficult time walking down the street kind of thing because he's so well known. And he's got a constant smile. He's got this giant smile from ear to ear the entire time. And you're having fun because he's having fun. It's just it's so wonderful. I'm just so sorry that the people here, at least the ones who don't, have never met him.
Right.
Because I've met him several times, and he's just a wonderful, wonderful guy. I'm sorry they can't see him because he had...
He was going to be lecturing last night and performing then today, and obviously we had to do away with that. And it was replaced then today by Terry Ward.
Oh, well, didn't he hit it out of the park?
He did. I thought that was a perfect... Because they were saying, you know, that Richard's, I've scoured the globe and I found someone right here in Orlando. And then when he said he's been working at Disney World, I guess, for 30 years, he said he's got over 35,000 performances. Tim Ellis sat next to me and said, "That's too many. He should be done. That's enough.
You got
35,000. Yeah,
it wears you out, you know. But yeah, no,
it was great.
Terry is one of my all-time favorite people to watch, just because he's so inventive. He's fun. He's fast. He likes to interact with the audience, and then he comes up with quick things, and after so many performances, he's got it down. He's just
that's exactly what we were talking about then when we were in there watching and saying, you know, he's got a joke probably for every profession because he's heard it all.
It's encyclopedic kind of thing. Actually, they used to say that about Robin Williams. Isn't Robin Williams quick on his feet coming up? But most of the stuff that Robin Williams had done that we saw had been honed over thousands and thousands of performances, and his real talent was his encyclopedic access to be able to go, oh, there's that gag that I did 3 years ago, and instantly recall it, and it looked new to us.
Right. Yeah.
But, yeah, that was, yeah.
Yeah. so he was great. And then the other one, of course, then was the lady, just a minute.
Alexandra de Vivier.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, did a great job. Yeah.
Oh, incredible. And Hector Mancha, who was, I'd never seen him live. This was my first time.
Well, you've been a Hector several times. You've seen him perform there.
You know what? I was never, for some reason, I was not in the room when he performed. Okay. And it destroyed me. But he was absolutely, I think he was one of the standout performers for me as far as new talents that I hadn't seen live.
It was great last night in the show, and then again, the close-up kind of.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. He completely hit it out of the park, and he's unique.
You can see that Juan Tamara's influence, I think, of that Spanish school, you know, Danny De Ortiz, and those kind of frenetic magicians from there,
right?
You know what I'm
right, and the originality was just off the chart. So loved it.
It was great. Mm-hmm. And then, as I said, after I came back from Penn and Teller, and then Pat Hazel did his Wonder Years thing. Then we just saw Pat do this, of course, with Gaetan Bloom, which was fantastic.
Boy, wasn't his lecture
his
something?
Lecture was great.
If you people do not have his Penguin lecture, you gotta get it, because he was doing stuff from that, and everyone was just floored. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
He's probably one of the most creative dynamos on the planet.
Period. You know, now that Johnny Thompson is gone, I hadn't thought about that, but he's probably the only other guy I would say that would hold a candle, you know, to Johnny.
Yeah, he just
knows everything about everything. You know,
I just want to know what he eats. You know, what kind of a diet does it take to make you be the kind of guy who does card manipulations with boxing gloves on?
Uh-huh.
Okay, it's just. I don't know. There's a mystery there, and I want to know. I want to know everything.
And then closing that was Reed Chang.
Oh wow! Wasn't that something?
FISM winner from Busan.
Yeah.
And I had seen him. I think he was at Magic Live. I'm pretty sure he was. And that. Yeah. I mean, where he starts out and it finishes exactly the same. And
it's a lot of smoke. It's a lot of clocks. It's
and
a
stuff
lot of
disappearing and appearing that are too large for him to manipulate. Books and things. It's just amazing.
And just the things he was doing just can't be. And I think Paul Vigil actually said, who was also another standout performer,
a
lecturer,
great lecture,
here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
His lecture notes, are 200 pages.
Yeah. Paul says, you know, something that's improbable is like one in a billion, but something that's magical, something that real magic, is one in can't happen. And I love that line. I think it's absolutely wonderful. And we saw some stuff tonight that just cannot happen. I love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it.
It's been a good convention. It's been just a whole heck of a lot of fun, certainly. And also just the people. I think, you know, kind of hanging out. Well, you know, that Paul Harris and Noel Britton, you know, coming up to be the Magic Circle president. And golly, I don't know, just so many other people who are like yourself and others, you know, just kind of Michael Lamar, you know, is over here.
Yeah, well, you got Eric Jones walking around. Yeah. I saw, you know, John Archer go by. And
well, a couple of those guys are working. I mean, John's going to be working the convention. So is Eric giving the lecture.
Right, right. But they're hubbubbing with everybody, and it really makes, you know, what other art form can you do that? If you were a singer, you could never go out to dinner with Celine Dion.
My point, exactly.
Yeah,
you can't go backstage with Frank Sinatra.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So I think we're the luckiest of everybody.
Of arts. Yeah,
sure. Yeah,
so.
Yeah,
yeah. Absolutely. Well, Rick and Ray for Piff the Magic Dragon and Piffles, his dog.
Yes.
So Jeff, as always, my good buddy, it's good to see you. When are you coming back down Houston way? Or when are you going to be traveling?
I'm riding with you. I'll be down.
We'll see you. We'll stop by Dunkin' Donuts on the way.
Yes, sounds good.
So the Magic Word Podcast. That was Jeff Williams. This is Scotty Young. And just a reminder also that Ian Kendall had given us an additional 6 copies, or PDF copies, of his lecture notes. Now, let me be clear that if you go to episode 522 on that blog, you'll see towards the bottom there an entry form where you can enter to win 1 of 6 copies. I'm going to change that so this way it's going to be 1 of 12 copies. What he's giving us actually are 6 copies of his lecture notes from 2012, and then another 6 from the 2019. So you were going to be getting one or the other. So it's going to be kind of a random draw of whatever that you get, one or the other. And again, these are the lecture notes from his morning workshop or the breakfast workshop that he's been delivering here at the Genie Convention. So go to episode 522 there at the bottom again. Fill in the form, and we will have the random drawing in a couple of weeks. So good luck. And thanks, Ian. All right, so we just finished with the evening show. Actually, it's almost 1 a.m. here. We're getting into day four as we speak. And we just finished with the Piff the Magic Dragon show. And Henry Tressel, so I was just right here. Hey, good morning.
Good morning,
I say good morning because it is now.
Yes, it is.
So tell me, what were your thoughts on the show this evening?
I loved it.
Yeah,
Piff had warned that there was going to be a little something at the end in his podcast, and at the end of the show, and it was more than I would have ever expected. I mean, it was played to the audience very well.
It did.
Pointed out his own shortcomings.
Nathan.
It was absolutely spot on, and
I want to see what you think. Go ahead, continue.
And I mean, I've heard him talk about the last trick they did, and the one time he did, and he always complained he would never have another context.
The urine to an
impossible location. He talks about how he would never have another context to do it, and it was so great to get to see it.
Yeah, I just wanted to hear what other people's thoughts were also. Hannibal and Nathan Colmar.
Sure, live entertainment, man. I love it. It was well, no, it was the kind of thing that you people are sitting around just thinking, is this really happening? And that's a beautiful moment. I mean, there was no like, it was right here, right now, in this moment. I love seeing somebody execute something outrageous and commit to it. And I thought it was incredible. I really
committed to the
it.
Bit, no question.
There was no flinching. No flinching. I've never seen that many magicians shell-shocked all at once, because the lights came up and everyone was like Night of the Living Dead. Just, really?
There's a bunch of zombies walking out.
Yeah, totally. I highly approve.
What got me perhaps the most, I guess, was when they said, okay, what was the guy that said he was going to be offering the urine? I couldn't find him. And then Katrina, the lady volunteer, said, well, this is going to be a little bit different. I don't think that's what they planned. They went with, they said, commit to the bit.
And they did not flinch. It's like, yep, come do the thing. So.
And she didn't flinch. I mean, massive respect to her.
She was all in.
Massive respect.
She was on stage for a second, hesitant, like, okay, good, I'm in, done. And it was that. It was that. So, yeah.
It was a fun show. And also, again, something that I don't think that most people get to see in Piff's show, because Penn's going to be part of it. So it's Piff and Pop. So it was really cool.
Right.
And John Loving, or Handsome Jack, had written part of the script, I guess, from a lot of that. So.
Exactly. Yeah, beautiful landmark work.
And it's worth saying, too, just if you're only hearing about this, nothing was explicitly crude.
Thank you, Nathan. nothing really explicit.
But behind a sheet and,
that
you
was
know,
lit from behind.
Yeah.
From my perspective, I was sitting in the front row. Oh, okay. There was a light shining forward, and it was all very, very clear.
Was she pulling down her dress?
She rose back.
Was that?
That she was pulling down her dress?
Well, she pulled up her skirt and pulled down her panties, and
wow.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
Shadow.
Yeah.
In shadow, okay. But lit from behind.
I was at a different angle than you were. Yeah, you were a little closer.
A little bit, yeah. I found out things like...
Steinmeier's latest creation. It was really...
Totally, total credit for it, yes. Total credit for it. So it was very clearly actually happening.
Yeah.
From my point of view.
Good observations all the way around. Yeah, people stunned, I think, was the way... Henry, what do you think else?
It's something you're only going to see at a convention. So if you've ever had a wonder if you should go to a convention, you're going to see something you're not going to see in Vegas. You're not
going to
see...
top this tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, I have tickets to go see them in November in scenic DeKalb, Illinois, and I know I'm not going to see this in DeKalb.
I don't think you're going to see this will play in DeKalb.
No, it will not.
Now, I will say, I am halfway just so proud to have been a part of this thing and halfway pissed off that... they upstaged my act from earlier. So. Nobody's talking about me anymore.
Which that was a good show this afternoon. You did a good job.
It was a great show.
I was not doing that for the accolades.
No.
No, but
well deserved.
To tell you.
I know you were joking.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it very, very much.
But you're right, yeah. So that was a good way of concluding today. So you kind of wonder what they're going to do tomorrow. Because typically, I mean, that'd be like a closing act. So I don't know what's happening Saturday night. Well, it's going to be good. Thank you guys very much.
It's a return. Like Cards Across, where they go back.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, it'll be a return to Katrina.
Okay. Hold on. I want to take a quick picture of you three guys and also very well. So, again, I want to thank you guys very much. And so I'm going to go back up to the room and put this together. So, that was Hannibal, Nathan Comarch, and Henry Treffs. Scotty out.